You know, I don't know who could be the biggest troll. I mean, Trump takes it to get a $350 million fucking verdict laid down to you with, like, you know, $110 million in interest. Be bought to do any kind of business in New York for 3 years, 2 years, whatever it was, and then the son's got it for 2 years. The only one that didn't touch was Ivanka, so I'm sure Ivanka's going to be running Trump International at this point. And then he'll, you know, I'm sure if he's in Jersey at Bedminster, he can consult the Trump organization through consulting means. So, but the biggest thing I found was so cool is they could go to SneakerCon and then, you know, lay out this Trump sneaker is insane. You know, he's got his SPAC, he's got True Social, he's got the sneakers. He's coming out with all these businesses, and we all know that it's to pay for legal means and things of that nature. But the guy is just one type of hustler. And that hustler gene, believe it or not, he got from his old man. His old man was like the ultimate hustler. Like, and you got to understand, like, his father, I forget where they originate. I don't know if it's Germany or whatnot. I forget exactly where they originate. But his father left his homeland, comes over to America, and this is like right at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. So I think he had like a barbershop or something out there. He says, fuck it, that ain't working. Comes over to New York, and I think he started, I want to say he started at the hotel. My memory is kind of foggy right now, but he started a business in New York. He goes there for a few years. You know, it doesn't really pan out the way he wants. So he goes, so at this point, the Rockefellers are, you know, it's like the Rockefellers are running the oils and they are going to start going up to Alaska for the gold. You got the gold rush. You had the Rockefellers going up there to start, you know, mining and shit. So he was like, you know what? I'm headed. That's it. I'm packing up everything and I'm heading over to Alaska. So you'll believe, just listen to what I'm telling you, because what you're about to hear is going to be in fucking sane. And I think the movie Slevin with Bruce Willis got the same saying from Trump's father. So, beating a dead horse is the saying. So his father packs up everything, leaves New York, and he says, hey, the Rockefellers are going out there. They're looking, you know, they're looking for oils and minerals. They're up there grabbing gold. You know, it's a million in industrial. It's in the middle of the industrial revolution. Oil, coal, the whole kit and caboodle. I mean, everything is cranking, right, in America. And it's the land of opportunity. Like, at that point, it was the land of opportunity. So he nevertheless, he goes over to Alaska, right? Builds a hotel. Some flood happens, okay? Crushes the fucking hotel, the log and hotel that he had, or he had this logging thing, right? And it decimates the whole hotel. This fucking guy managed to get all the broken pieces of the logs out of the lake or the river of whatnot, Yukon River. I'm pretty sure it was the Yukon, all right, because everybody's gold mining up in the Yukon. So he grabs all the broken pieces to the hotel. Tell me, like, this is the preservation to just keep going and going and going. Is just insane. I commend it to persevere through everything. So he takes the broken pieces of the hotel and creates this fucking bar, okay? And as he's walking up the middle of he's taking these logs and he's you know, dragging them up with donkeys or whatnot. And as he's going up higher up into elevation so he can avoid any type of other catastrophic fucking events, he starts seeing dead horses on these trails, okay? Whether they were out of food or hungry, you know, there was no place, no logging area high up from the, say, base camp, if you will, right? You follow me? So Trump's father leaves New York, goes over to Alaska, in the middle of the fucking gold rush, says, hey, I'm going to set up a hotel on the banks of the Yukon. He does that. A big fucking flood happens, takes out the hotel. He then proceeds to take all the broken pieces of the log, brings them up halfway up to the fucking hill, the Yukon Hill, I don't know the name of, and he starts seeing dead horses. And what he does next will blow your fucking mind. At this point, he's got, you know, nothing in his name, nothing to his name, right? He's done spent everything he's had. So as he's going up the hill, he starts sees the dead horses. So he knows that where it's in the Yukon, it's so fucking cold that that meat won't go bad. Some of it, sure, but I'm sure some of it he could save. And he knew this. So what he did is he stopped and he didn't go no further. And he plants up a bar, okay? And he takes the broken pieces of his hotel and rearranges it into a bar. And he starts putting that up there. And he starts selling here. He starts selling some beef, some burgers. And they're horse burgers, okay? So the saying of, you know, hey, you can't beat a dead horse. Well, sure and shit you can. Because Mr. Trump did. His Trump father started selling those dead horses, would take the carcasses of the dead horses, bring them into the bar, cut them up, butcher them up, and start making horse burgers for all the gold miners that were in the Yukon. And guess what those miners paid with? Fucking gold. Okay, so he made a tremendous amount of money. I mean, he's in the middle of the Yukon. You're dying. You want a place to sit down and warm your feet up. Your horse is fucking freezing. It's fucking balls off, right? So you see this thing. He goes up there. What's he take? He's got no currency. He wants gold. So they just start throwing chips of gold at him. Chips of gold, chips of gold. And he's selling the meat from the dead horses that couldn't make it up the fucking hill. Talk about some kind of taking nothing, something from nothing. You got to respect that type of hustle, man. To do that, I mean, and that's what is embedded in a lot of people that we see in the olden days. A lot of these millionaires, now, of course, Trump might have not had that type of hustle in him. You know what I mean? Because his father gave him a $1 million, $2 million loan. A couple times. Okay, so Trump took gold and made more gold. He didn't take fucking lead. And I think when we talk about, you know, not to go off the subject, but alchemy, you know, to take lead and turn it into gold, it's not in the literal sense. It's taking nothing from, in my mind, it's taking nothing from something and making it to something. You know, taking nothing and make it into something and then turn it into something to where you can make a few bucks off of it. To me, that's gold. You know, to me, that would be in a way of turning lead into gold, something that's a paperweight into gold, or taking that lead, making a pencil. Now you can make money, which then it turns, you know, money's gold. What? So that type of hustle I respect. So when we see Trump in the middle doing the sneaker con, you know what I mean? This guy knows how to hustle, and he knows how to market. You know what I mean? He just knows how to market. So whoever called him up and said, hey, I want to do a sneaker deal with you, unless he just took the idea and said, let me just go get some kind of manufacturer like Weezy did and start selling Yeezys, Trump Yeezys, be insane. So his sneaker is $350. This is what made Kanye West a billionaire. So, let's just say that there's a smart CEO out there, and he says, well, hey, you know, a lot of people don't like Trump. That's fine. But a lot of people are going to buy these sneakers just to have them because they're going to either depreciate or appreciate in value once they're bought. So you're going to have a lot of people out there buying these sneakers just for the sheer equity value that it may or may not bring. And the way you see the world and all the Trump support a Macy's or somebody or a Banana Republic or H&M would be fucking stupid not to carry the man's shoe in their store. Okay? Because, you know, if he sold 20 million of those shoes, you're talking a sickening amount of money. So it's not only does he get out of the courtroom and just stick a fucking middle finger right up the ass to the judge and says, now, yeah, go ahead. I'm going to walk on with my new Trump sneakers. I'd go into court. I'd say next time I go into court, I'm going on with the Trump sneakers. If Trump walks into court with the Trump sneakers, fucking awesome. It would be the biggest troll move ever seen in the world. I'd even send a pair to the judge, to be honest with you. And I'd send another pair to Eugene. You know, I'd get a... too bad they couldn't get a signature Jew with Eugene Carroll. Oh, my God. You know, and then on the side of them, they could put rape is sexy. So... And now those are the things that lead me to what I want to say now, is that we can have people say incriminating things or fucked up things and get away with it. Get away with it. I mean, look at Fannie Willis on the stand. I had some, her words were, I had some campaign money lying around in my house, since it's a black thing, I guess. I had some money laying around, and that's how I paid Mr. Boyfriend that I like here. No, that's just money to pay off any kind of, you know, that's cash on the side. That's not a black thing. That's called cash on the side for quick pro quos. Okay? That's how that is. And I don't understand how they can't trace that money with the serials, the serial numbers. I just don't get it, you know. So... Fannie Willis gets up there and she can say it's all lies and she can act all erratic. But if you had that type of behavior in court, you'd be you'd be in contempt of court, I'm sure, right? So it's just weird how, you know, and then Eugene Carroll, she can accuse a man of sexual assault, but then have the fucking guyonies, the pineapples, to fucking say, you know, oh, well, you know, rape is sexy. What, lady? Rape is not sexy. Rape is not sexy. It's not even so sexy that Cat Williams didn't even want to do a friggin' scene with a man in Friday getting essayed in a bathroom just because some cats thought it was going to be funny. There is no way, shape, or form in any genre, in any category, that rape is sexy. It's not, okay? If that's your thing, you like to get a little... whatever you do behind closed doors, that's your business. I don't care if you're gay, I don't care if you're bisexual, LGBTQ community, I don't care. Whatever you do behind your closed doors, I could give two shits for. Because what I like to do behind my closed doors are behind my closed doors, right? I mean, we all have to have some kind of privacy and anonymity to things do we do, you know? But these people can get away with saying this, do you know? And if it's just me and you, we get fucking screwed. But the Trump sneakers, I love. I would love to get a pair just to have them appreciate in value, just because, you know, whatever Byron plans on doing, you know, those shoes are going to be connected to him. So, you know, I think the sneakers were just a beautiful troll thing. I loved. I don't know if you guys heard on the last podcast, shifting to Alexei Navalny. When Tucker went over there, I says, Tucker didn't even say a freaking word about Alexei. You know, he asked for the journalist, but he didn't talk about Alexei. You know, he didn't talk about the Wagner guy there. Fucking, I can't think of his name. Anyway. It was a softball interview, and then next thing you know, Ukraine's pulling out of begins with an A, out of vodka. Everything sounds like vodka. They pull out of there. He's on this world tour to ask for more money, right? And so in America, we have fucking stupid clown parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, and they're sitting there and they're bitching. And in the meantime, we're in the middle holding the rope. And it's like, oh, well, we're going to go on vacation for 2 weeks. And then you hear President Biden, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. Now, we should be screaming that 2 weeks. We get away fucking 2 weeks for you guys to figure out something. So you guys are just going to just hold the whole country in hostage and say, well, we're just going to go, you know, go sit Merlot. I got to go have a fucking Eggs Benedict and some mimosas over there in Belize, where Fanny, you know, I heard Fanny talking about Belize. I said, fuck, I might as well go over to Belize and get an Eggs Benedict and a mimosa, sit under the sun for a little bit. This is the type of shit that I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why nobody is, like, screaming to high heaven. I don't even know how, I don't understand how anybody can still believe in the system. How can you believe in the system? You've got Bitcoin, a fucking ghost of a talk about a fiat currency. It's fucking bullshit. You know, and people think that that's going to take over the dollar. It's not. You need they need the dollar for all the shit that they're doing. You can't take a foolproof system and put it into a crooked system. It would root out all the fucking corruption. That can't happen. Obviously, because if it was, it would have already happened. Chase, JP, they would have already done it. But what they're going to do is that these big banks will support another currency mechanism, another transactional mechanism as far as Bitcoin and stuff like that. But it's not going to oversurpass the dollar. It's not going to run out the dollar. I don't think it's going to flow more than the dollar. You'll just have these people until they can figure out how they can get into the system of Bitcoin and get into them servers and do whatever the fuck, whoever owns it, and do what they need to do and create the shit that they need to create. Then and only then will Bitcoin take over the dollar. But until then, this fiat currency has to stay in place. It's what made this thing so far. It built this fiat currency, built the house, the country that we're standing in. Do you think you could build a country on Bitcoin? I mean, literally, with all the corruption and all the people and all the nuances that people have and how they think, you really think that you could take Bitcoin and trust it to mobilize and uplift a nation? Not ours, but even a third world. They have this shit. So they go in, they say, you got 10 billion coins? Well, we're just going to have it. Now you got 5 billion coins. You can't do that. The banks with JP Morgan, the Federal Reserves, they would go apeshit. They'd say, well, you can't just take that money. That's our money. Right? I mean, if you believe that Bitcoin is going to take over the world, you're fucking sadly mistaken. Because the powers that be that are in control, that goes way back from the Balfour Declaration with the Rothschilds, you think you're going to stop that type of bank, the web of the banking system from 1960? They can't even shatter the Dobbs, what is that, the Glass-Steagall Act. And they can't get rid of that. And there's one other thing in the stocks that they can't get rid of that would help a lot. And I don't know if that's the Glass-Steagall Act. I'm not sure. I think they got rid of that. But there's another one. There's one more that escapes my mind right now. But these financial things are not, you know, are not to be played with. They're not to be trifled with. And they'll never be trifled with because, you know, the heads of Deutsche don't do that. You know what I mean? That's just not how it gets done. And how wonderful that Deutsche comes down to the trial of Trump, right? So, you know, Deutsche has a little bit of responsibility in that case because they go out and they send their appraiser. So let me just ask you, I'm friends with you. Me and you are buddies, right? And I'm going to buy, and you're a bank, and I'm a realtor. I'm going to go buy a piece of property. Right, and you're a bank. Now, I'm gonna probably embellish a few thousand square feet. You already know this through the operations and the dealings that you've had before me, right? So you send your appraiser out there, and along some of the lines, everybody comes to some kind of agreement that the 11,000 square feet is now 33,000 square feet. And two people benefit, me and you, right? You're the owner of the bank, and I'm the realtor, right? So now I get the loan of the loan I need, and the bigger that loan is, the more you're going to get an interest, right? Correct? So you make money as well as I make money, right? So that's how it all goes. So you're telling me Deutsche Bank wasn't going to send out an appraiser and say, oh, yeah, that's, no, Mr. Trump, that's 11,000 square feet. So we can't give you $120 million and get $80 million in interest, let's just say. I'm just theoretically speaking, I'm just saying, you know, hey, let's just say that would be the interest that the bank is going to make on top of the 120. the bank would want to give him more money to make more money in interest. They're in a business to make money. They're not in a business to say, oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, this is 11,000 square feet. So yeah, you know, shit, even though we know that this guy's a certified billionaire and we could give him $120 million loan. And as us being Deutsche, we're not going to really fucking lose because we can write it off on a 1090C or 1030C fucking of incursion of debt. Okay. So, it's a little fascinating to see what Deutsche Bank is going to do, because Trump has a lawsuit now on Deutsche Bank saying, hey, well, their appraiser went out there and appraised it for 33,000 square feet. So why am I only one getting screwed? So Deutsche went down there to make sure that they could find out what was going on in the case, so they can go and tell their lawyers, like, hey, this is what's going on and this is what's going to happen, because now Trump's going to come after us because we're kind of, even though Deutsche was on their side, but, you know, where the judge didn't see this and nobody could move this judge, whether it would have been money, any type of favors, he couldn't nudge him. So he lays down this insane fucking verdict of $350 million. And it's not like Trump didn't pay back the money. He paid back the money and the interest, which was like $250 million. Deutsche got paid that money back. So none of this is like robbery or anything. Everybody got paid. You know what I mean? It's just the DA wants to make some big stink because it's Trump. You know, and that's clear, you can see. Now, I don't, like I said, I'm not biased. I don't have skin in this game, but you can see obviously that's it. Do you know what I mean? If I said, hey, well, you know, if Trump took the money and never paid back the loan, sure, now bring him up to the judge and do what you gotta do. But if he's just you know, paying back the money that he got loaned and the interest, and he's doing business, then I don't, you know, I can see this happens every day in real estate. They say, oh, well, I got a bathroom over here, so if I take out the bathroom, I'll have an extra 300 square feet. You know what I mean? It's just that simple. So let's just, like, since it's very early in the investigation of Anna Kenzenvich. She's a Colombian woman that went missing in Spain. I'm sure you guys might have heard of it. If you haven't, then this woman, she was on a E-Pray and Love, if you will, How Stella Got Her Groove Back type of movie, if you will. She had a, you know, an acrimonious split up with her husband. And she's, you know, in a midlife crisis. She's mid-40s or so, career-minded woman, everything that you would want in a woman. And so she's going through some things, right? She had a split up and she's like, what do I do? You know, I want to feel alive again. So she heads off to Spain. But she's with a friend, I think. She's with a friend. But that friend, so they're both in Spain, you know. And these are the type of setups that make perfect, perfect, perfect storylines so somebody could get murdered, okay? So now whether this friend that's with her, the blonde, whether that friend is there for really support or not, emotional support and help her friend, I don't know why she left her in Spain. Okay? So the story goes is that she was going to leave. Her friend left, but she wanted to stay for a little bit longer because she had met somebody and they were going to go somewhere or something. And so she's in her hotel room. The cameras are spray painted black. Some man obviously was seen spray painting on them. She leaves and now she's missing. 2 days later, her friend gets one text in English, and then she gets another text in Spanish. Now, if we know anything about the past of people that are in other countries that go missing, whether it be the little girl, the kidnapped girl there, with the parents, and they didn't see, and they leave, and they go have something to eat, and they kidnap Michaela, I think, I'm not sure. Anyway, she's out in Spain, okay? Now, as of right now, that's a missing persons case because she obviously went on her own volition. Now, she could have paid somebody to spray paint those cameras, okay? So it could just be as simple as some lady saying, hey, you know what? I don't feel alive. I'm very depressed. I went through this thing, and I just want to stay out in Spain, and I want to explore it. So she could have did this on her own volition and had something in the back of her mind, and she just wanted to be free, okay? That's one possibility. The second possibility is that her friend could have set up this whole thing. You know what I'm saying? How well-traveled is that friend? You know, I always find it suspicious when two girls just decide to go to Spain and then one comes back and it seems the one that's alive and then back in America seems like they're more versed in that culture. They know more about the country. They know more about this and that than their friend does. And the friend is only going out there to try to reinvent themselves, if you will. So this poor girl goes missing after this divorce, which is so awkward. Do you know what I mean? Which is just so awkward. But it lays a beautiful, beautiful scenario where she went through a divorce. We went over here, right? And now I wanna get with her husband. And this is a beautiful way to get her out of the way. The husband wants to leave. She fucking flies over to Spain. The friend knows a little bit about the area. That's a possibility. The friend takes her out just to go back and live happily ever after with the husband. All right. Now that's a possibility. It could be a possibility where there was just a man that was waiting for a vulnerable time for a girl and grabs her. But why her? Why her? Why her? Do you know what I mean? There's so many brunettes out there with brown eyes that I'm sure you could shake a stick out, especially in Spain. Do you know what I mean? It's a beautiful country. So with a lot of beautiful women. So I can't just see, you know, some guy, a cabbie, you know, mocking out this lady's place to really go after her unless he had a really, really high obsession. And that would have taken, you know, a cab ride to the inner city or some bar. And then he hangs out and it so happens that coincidentally he drives them back to the house that same night. You know what I mean? It's like, is it coincidental to have in the city to have in a big tourist area to have the same Uber twice in the night to drive you to your party spot? And then, oh, when you're leaving the party spot, that same Uber is there, or however they do it in Spain, whether it's cabbies, gypsy cabs, Ubers, whatever the hell, right? So, she's very vulnerable. So why does a friend leave another friend that knows nothing about a country by herself in this country? Do you know what I mean? And I'd say, well, listen, you know, Anna, like, you're very highly emotional, honey. You know, like, I understand what's going on with you and, you know, John Doe, but look, to be out here and be, you know, trying to get promiscuous and not think about you being an American in a foreign nation, with all the shit that's going on in the world, how vulnerable you are emotionally, mentally, and things like that, you're gonna grab and lash on to anything, is what it is, to get a thrill. So you meet some guy, he gets you on the back of a motorcycle. Oh, yeah, hey, I want to take you up to the fucking mountains tomorrow. Okay, cool. You know, so, hey, I just found this guy's going to take a trip up to the mountains. We'll have flights today. All right, well, I'm going to catch the next one back. If I was a friend, I'd be like, no. I've seen this too many times on a fucking A&E story. You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm not leaving you here. Like, does anybody get what I'm saying? Or does anybody feel what I'm saying as far as, like, those type of things happening? I mean, I would be like, I'm not going to leave you here. I'll just hang out. You never, we don't know who this guy is. You never know. This shit happens every day out here. I'm not going to leave you. You know, just like the women that go to Mexico and they have a fight in the fucking hotel room. Nobody knows nothing. Or, you know, they're in Mexico. They have something to drink. Next thing you know, they don't know where the fuck they are and they end up dead and they're missing. So a missing person case, if nobody knows, is the best case to have if you're going to create a murder. Because a person can do whatever they want. And as long as it's a missing persons case, it's just that. It's not a murder. It's not a nothing. I mean, this lady could have, she just had a divorce and she might want just some time alone. And that's exactly why these narratives fit. And this is exactly why people will capitalize on these type of situations if there is some type of animosity towards this woman. So somewhere, if they peel back the onion, there's going to be some animosity towards this woman somewhere. You know what I mean? And I just don't think that the Spain thing was a one-off. No, I don't believe it. I mean, it's really early in the case. And she might pop back up. But to spray paint the cameras and have a man be seen spray painting cameras leads to me thinking it's either a dude on his own volition or this is meant to happen. But why her? You know, I mean, it's not like the husband could have knew that she was going to Spain, flew to Spain and cockamated some fucking plan up. No. Did the girl have some kind of connection to the husband? You know? Why go to Spain after having a tremendous divorce? Why not just go to a nightclub, a nice nightclub? Do you know what I mean? It makes no sense. Oh, we're just going to go to Spain. And this, Laura over here, your best friend Laura, wants to just jaunt off over to Spain, try to reinvigorate you, get some international loving, and everything's going to be fixed. I'm sorry to say that's not going to happen. So, you know, I get the idea of it. You know, it looks like she's trying to help her friend and, you know, da da da, get you back into the scene and doing things and dating and living and da 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 da. Like, no, I don't believe that, you know? And then to leave the chick there is just, is a big red flag. Huge red flag. It's like when Natalie Holloway, when, like, her friends left her. Why would you leave your friend with, like, three other dudes in the middle of fucking Aruba? Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, that'd be like me saying, oh, yeah, hey, you know, I'm going to go to fucking Jamaica and just walk off over into Kingston. No. No, you're not. Because you're going to get robbed. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. What a crazy world. So I'm dying to see what's going on with that case. That case should be really, really, really intriguing, along with some of the other cases that I think... Well, one other case that might be going on is that there's some type of serial killer killing migrants. I guess a lot of bodies, they say, are washing up from the Rio Grande River. And I felt like saying, well, there's a lot of people that can't swim to cross the fucking river. So, hello. You know, if you're not saying that, you know, hey, we're seeing stab wounds, we're seeing a slit throat, we're seeing a padding here. Maybe they don't want us to do that because then it scares the migrants off. It destroys all this little fucking geological shift, if you will. You know, this whole eugenics play that's going about. So, you know, it looks like Israel's fitting to take over Palestine entirely. They're going to move them people all to Egypt. Egypt's already building their wall. I guess Democrats out there can't say nothing to Mubarak. I don't even know if that's the president out there. But in any event, they're building their walls for the Palestinian refugees. They're going to put them they're going to squirt them into a little area, and they're going to live there. And the same things are going to happen with our migrants, okay? Now, we all know, if you're in construction and you're in America and you're in construction, you will see some hardworking Spanish people. And they like roofing, and they'll go up there and they'll tear a roof down and shingle it all in one day, okay? That's $30,000 in one day, okay? Even if it takes them 2 days. It takes them about a day and a half. And we're talking 25 plus squares, 30 square roofs, okay? And 30 squares and shingles, we're talking pretty good amount of roof. Even if it was 20 squares, they're banging out 20 squares a day, probably if not more, and they're making a ton of money, okay? Now, what's gonna happen is that there's gonna be no place to put these people. And so one guy's gonna say, well, Mira, you know, I got my boy over here out in Texas, and he does foundation work. Oh, okay. Well, ain't California deserts, they can grow fucking marijuana plants and shit, and, like, you can see the authorities coming from, like, a mile away, so it gives you, like, a 10-minute jump on the whole search warrant that they're trying to execute. Unless they come in with a helicopter, you're still going to see that, too. So these guys are going to say, yeah, they do that. That's the cartel. Well, how about this? Why don't we just go out there and start laying down some foundation, and we'll just build our own shed? shit, we're already building our own shit in the police departments. We're already building our own shit right here in the fucking a block of down. They're building this $30 million fucking garage for us. Why won't we just go out into the desert and start building our own shit and make a nice little house? You know, tell Raul to grab the foundation, dude. We'll go out there. We'll start banging the stuff out. Nobody will be the wiser. And they're going to make their own little city. There's abandoned cities in America. You see that on any, I don't know, any YouTube channel. Abandoned cities, abandoned towns, da-da-da-da-da. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to go and they're going to start building their own shit. They're not going to wait for the government to do it because they're going to do it themselves. These people are go-getters. They have a hustle inside them. They have a desire to persevere. So they're going to go and build their own shit. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to just go build their own stuff. They ain't going to wait. You know, start fucking getting our own shit. And that's going to be quite a trip. So, you know, there's so many ways to alleviate the stress that's happening to cities, but they want this to happen. Again, this is all, it seems like it's all prearranged. It's all pre-planned. It's all for a reason, higher than we can even think of. And we sit here in the middle at the end of the day, and I listen to you, you listen to me, and we say, yeah, yeah, but nothing ever happens. We have all these pundits talking about change and this and that, and it just never happens. When are we going to make a move?